I will call this meeting of September 4th, 2018, to order at 6:01 p.m. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
I'm expecting George McKee. Ted Leonard.
Here.
Dan Mayfield.
Here.
Barbara Doty.
I'm here.
Randall Kowalki.
Present.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Let's take a look at the agenda. Anything to pull from the consent agenda? Seeing nothing, the consent agenda will remain the same. And the agenda is approved as presented. Pledge of Allegiance. Would some of our veterans that are here tonight want to stand up and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, gentlemen. There are no minutes for approval. Let's go to reports and correspondence. How about the City of Wasilla? We'll start with City of Wasilla. Mayor Cottle. Okay, hang on a second. Mayor, Assemblymember McKee is just arriving. At least.
Riding a big white horse.
At least 2 or 3 minutes late, so find him, Madam Clerk, please. Welcome.
When you're as old as I am.
When you're as old, okay. All right, let the record reflect Assemblymember McKee's here, 6:03. Go ahead, Mayor Cottle.
Okay, Bert Cottle, Mayor of City of Wasilla. I have just a couple things. This is ribbon cutting week for us. The first one we're going to do is tomorrow, September 5th at 3 p.m. We're going to cut the ribbon on the new 1 mile paved loop around the wooded area at Menard Center. And after that, we're going to have free open skate and free turf for tots. Say that five times. And that's going to be open until 5 o'clock. And then on Friday at 2 p.m., we just built a brand new pavilion over at Nunley Park. We've never had one there. So we're going to do a ribbon cutting there. And then on Friday, which I think everybody's excited about, at 9:45, I'm sorry, Sunday at 9:45, we're going to do the ribbon cutting for the new Michaels store next to Target. So Michaels will be open on Sunday at 9:45. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. City of Palmer, I don't believe anybody's here. How about City of Houston? Doesn't look like it either. And the school district. But we do have a joint assembly school district school board meeting next week. Joint assembly school board committee report.
Yep, no report.
Okay. Any other assembly public relations reports from some members or staff? Seeing none, let's move to Mr. Moosey.
Good evening. Two things. On your table, as required, and I believe this is the top of the last meeting or presented last meeting, is our current contracts over $100,000 and between $25,000 and $100,000 for the cybersecurity incident and recovery. There is not a total because those are just larger numbers, but at this point in time, we are approximately $1.8 million. Reminder, we have $1 million insurance. We're not sure how much it's going to cover, but we've been involved with them from day one on this. And the estimate right now is about 48% recovered, but we believe that by the end of September, which is just 4 weeks, we should be about 95% functional at that point in time. So we're making rapid progress on this. The second thing that I have is just an update. You know, based on your direction and the assistance with Assemblymember Leonard, I have contracted with Helenthal and Associates. We are doing the police polling on the similar to questions that were presented to you, and then I think you had a couple ads. We think this will be by the end of the month. We will have the result of that, and then we will share that with you, and I want to get that out to our public for that. It's going to be similar timing to when we're going to vote on the issue on October ballot, and then we can discuss if, based on October ballot and what we get back, do we do more polling or what's our next step based upon what our citizens tell us. That's all I have for this evening.
Senator Doty?
Thanks. I just have a question about the cybersecurity insurance. And you mentioned that you weren't sure how much they were going to cover. And since I'm unfamiliar with this type of insurance, can you help me understand why they would not cover something?
Well, the insurance is for recovery and protection of data. So if we have to replace equipment, there's a possibility they will not cover the equipment. Or we are putting new systems in place to prevent us in the future. And I'd say about maybe 30 to 40% of our costs are for that specific reason, to make sure we don't go back there again. They may not recover. They may not cover those expenses. Just a reminder, I think we're at 1.8. We had $1 million of coverage. So even if they did cover 100%, it's still not going to be the whole boat. But in the budget, we did plan for, you have 1.7 million for these type of instances to occur in case they do. Our issue is going to be, is the next disaster in this budget cycle, what is going to happen?
No hurricanes, right?
Definitely no hurricanes or snakes.
Senator Sykes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Manager, I wanted to ask about, is there a draft of the questions? I thought I'd ask to see those before we decided what the questions were going to be for polling.
So when I handed those out, I sent those out to the Assembly and had you, the Assembly members, respond. Based on those responses, that's what myself and Mr. Leonard took down and had a discussion meeting with Mr. Hellenthal.
Anything else for Mr. Moosey? Seeing none, Mr. Spropoulos, legal reports.
To add a bit of clarification on the insurance question, the policy is fairly narrow, is what the manager was talking about. So when they say things are not covered, he's talking about exclusions under the policy. We've been working through it as well in my office to make sure that things that we think are covered, that we have a case to make sure that they're covered. So we remain part of the 60% semi non-functional at this time. Assemblymember Leonard also asked that I follow up with the Assembly and just give a brief kind of discussion, I guess in conjunction with the manager, about the Janus decision and the impact to the Mat-Su borough. As you may or may not remember, in June, the Supreme Court ruled that public employers cannot force people to join a union, which changed a rule that was in place from the U.S. Supreme Court back in the 70s. So what's happened in the meantime is we've met a couple of times with our union because we do have a provision in the contract which was approved by the union, approved by the Assembly, which mandates membership. What we're contemplating doing, and I think we have it all hammered out at this point, is a letter of agreement basically amending that so that it comports with the law that does not mandate that people join the union or stay in the union. And then there'll be some information sharing provision in there about so that we make sure our lists are updated and their lists are updated. So the Janus decision, really all it says is, again, a public employer cannot force an employee to join the union and or pay the dues. To date, what the old rule was, if you didn't want to join the union, you didn't have to, but you still had to pay either the dues or an association fee that could get donated to charity if you really didn't want it going to the union. So that's changed. I don't know if there was any other specific questions on that, or that's just kind of the brief overview.
Senator McKee?
Yeah, I do have a question on that, since I think the collective bargaining agreement says that, in fact, if any provision of it is in violation of law, no accepted law, it is non-enforceable. So why would we have to meet with the union and do a letter?
It's always good when you have a contract with someone, if you believe a provision is unenforceable, to discuss it and make sure everybody's on the same page. As I said, the other thing is that we're going to want to share information about who we think is in the union to make sure that we're withdrawing payroll appropriately and, more importantly, not withdrawing payroll appropriately. And likewise, the union has an interest in knowing who it is they're representing if there's any changes to that. So that was also part of the discussions in terms of moving forward, and then also what to do if people decide to opt out.
Okay, everybody okay? Anything else?
Nope.
Okay, Madam Clerk.
The clerk's report is in your red folder, and to update the Assembly, it looks like we'll be able to post the next packet in Granicus. However, it doesn't look like we'll be able to stream as of the next meeting, but we will keep you up to date. And also for the Assembly members that we have your computers, We do have them back. Brenda will need to set up time with you to work with you to get your email up and going, so Brenda will get a hold of you and get that scheduled. Also attached to the clerk's report is the Joint Assembly School Board meeting agenda for next Tuesday. The mayor requested that a joint meeting get set up with the municipality of Anchorage. I think we've said it's maybe been three years maybe. And tentatively, me and the clerk discussed November 8th at 1 o'clock. These meetings are usually during the day. She hasn't heard back from her assembly yet, but I wanted to see if that worked for the borough assembly.
Any problems? November 8th, 1 o'clock.
Good.
Summer McKee.
Where are we going to meet with them?
Because they're our nearest large municipal neighbor. We've done it for years.
Would it be in Anchorage? I have a commitment.
It's going to be in Anchorage.
I have a commitment until one.
It's going to be in Anchorage. Summer Leonard?
November 8th. It's Thursday, November 8th.
They could. Summer Sykes?
I have a commitment that I cannot get out of, and I will not be here that day.
You want a new date?
Well, either after November 20th would be better.
I can work with that too.
Madam, it's up to the assembly. Yeah, this is not anything firm, so Madam Clerk could.
I could participate by phone if that's an option.
I'd like to have as many of us there in person as possibly could. Okay, we'll let Madam Clerk work on it and get back with us.
Okay. And then, Mr. Mayor, at the last assembly meeting, the assembly requested that administration put together pro-con statements regarding the election date change that did get handed out to you a little bit ago. And I do believe Mr. Mayor wanted me to read the entire thing in the record.
Do you folks have any objection to her to going through the pros and cons? Okay, Madam Clerk, go ahead.
Well, not a comprehensive list. The following are pros, cons as to changing the borough election date from October to November. Pro, based upon historical numbers, there would likely be an increase in voter turnout every 2 years when state and federal elections are occurring on the same day. Con, the Denali borough shares its election with the state, and according to the Denali borough clerk, the percentage of voter turnout is higher on state and federal election years, but is lower in the years that only the municipal election is occurring. A pro, voters will only have to remember a single date on which to vote. A con, voters will have to stand in two lines, one for state and one for borough elections to vote. And just to keep in mind, the assembly members, there has to be equal pro and con per our code. That's why I'm going through that. Pro, the patriotic energy from the state and federal elections will energize voters for the local elections. Con, with two ballots to vote during the state federal election years every other year, and one ballot to vote during the municipal election every year, voter confusion may result. Pro, voters deciding on state and federal issues may add their previously absent voice to local issues because they are already at the polls. Con, the city of Houston, Palmer, and Wasilla will still have an October election as this does not change the city's election. Pro, a larger pool of election workers will be needed as there will be two election official teams at each precinct and absentee voting location. Two teams offer opportunities for more people to get involved in elections and get paid. Con, the borough and state share the majority of the pool of local election workers. Additional officials are somewhat difficult to recruit. The borough may have to increase pay and compete with the state to secure election workers in order to run a viable election. Pro, the state division of elections could run the borough election, offering an independent overview. Con, the state division of elections has informed the borough that the state cannot run the borough elections. Pro, if Denali Borough can hold their municipal election with the state and federal election, then it must be possible. Con, just like the Denali Borough, it will be two separate elections being conducted simultaneously, which would include two separate election boards, two separate voting lines, two separate ballots, two separate ballot boxes. Pro, the Matsu Borough voters will know in one election who was elected to represent them on the local, state, and federal level, which saves time and money. Con, the borough uses the state's voting equipment in the October election. With a November election, the borough would not have election equipment to use on election day. Borough ballots would be tabulated at a later time, or the borough would purchase lease equipment at a cost anticipated to be over $300,000.
Okay, anything else, Madam Clerk?
That is it, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor? While we're on the clerk's report, I was looking ahead to November, and that's the week of Thanksgiving that our only meeting in November is scheduled. Is there any way, and I realize we don't want to have it on the 7th because we, that's election day, but is there any way we could split the month and consider having it on November 13th instead of the 20th?
That is AML, AAMC, managers, mayors, meetings.
Okay, then we can't do that.
I can look here. Bear with me.
Which
Maybe
meeting
we can compromise.
You, which meeting are you talking about?
Well, I'm proposing that we move November 20th to the 13th.
I see.
We could move it to the following week, the 27th.
Yeah, that would be good with me.
Any objections? It's going to be an assembly meeting movement to the 27th of November. Looks like no objection.
Is that, for clarification, that's the joint Anchorage?
No.
The assembly regular meeting that was scheduled on November 20th, changing to November 27th.
I see. Okay. I'm okay with that.
And she'll work on the joint Anchorage one and get back with us. Okay, anything else, Madam Clerk?
Item 18-135, land management will be conducting a 10-year plus over-the-counter tax and local improvement district district foreclosure sale this fall. The repurchase rights of the former record owner have been extinguished. Item 18-137, informing the Assembly of the manager extending an Alaska Division of Lands lease agreement for a 5-year period to allow the lessee the option to purchase the land in accordance with borough code and policy and procedures for the purchase of the fee simple estate. Item 18-138, reporting of conclusion of contract for bid number 1716B to Valley General Construction LLC for West Hazel Avenue. Item 18-139, reporting of a conclusion of contract for bid 1784B to Valley General Construction LLC for Waldron Cove Court, Finger Cove Drive, Finger Cove Court, and Finger Lake Roads.
Are there any comments on the IMs? Here none, IMs are presented. There are no persons to be heard. So we're at public hearings. Madam Clerk, we have one ordinance, 18086. Could you please read the legislation into the record, please?
An ordinance establishing a commercial outdoor shooting facility working group.
Okay, we've got a sign-up list, and anybody in the audience will have 3 minutes to testify in this ordinance if they so wish. And our first person signed up looks like Keith Lips. Come on forward, sir. And what you do is just state your name for the record go ahead and commence your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name's Keith Lips. I'm glad that you guys are bringing something like this and putting it forth. The Valley needs it, and I can see a need for it because I got people shooting all in back of my house. But the last time you guys tried to do a shooting range was within a quarter of a mile, a couple hundred yards of a piece of property that I own that I plan on building a house on. And you guys, if you want to have a shooting range, a bullet travels 1 mile minimum, a 22, up to 2 miles. You need to notify everybody within that 2 mile radius of what's being done in their backyard. A bullet could travel up to 2 miles. Accidental discharge of the gun over here because somebody don't know what they're doing instead of shooting it over there. I'd like to see for that to be put in this ordinance that any shooting range people within the 2 mile radius will be notified. It's for safety. You get in trouble if you shoot a gun the wrong way if there's a house within a mile. Same thing should go. You should let people know you're getting a firing range within their house, within their where they live. And I appreciate you guys actually doing this because I can really see a need for a shooting range. You know, there's a lot of young kids that want to shoot, and it'd be good for you guys to do something like that. Thank you much.
Yeah, this ordinance establishes a working group to work with the Assembly and then staff.
I realize that, but the Mat-Su Borough only notifies people of 100 yards or a couple thousand feet.
Okay.
That's not enough.
Okay. Yeah, that's this group will help. Thank you.
Well, could you put that in it, that word in it?
Not at this time.
No. So it doesn't make a difference?
Well, okay, that's going to come later is what I'm saying. This working group will work with the Assembly and the staff to address issues just like you're talking about.
Okay, because that's something that needs to be addressed within a further distance out instead of just 100 yards, right.
No, that's an issue that certainly could be brought up with this group.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Let's see. Eugene Haberman.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I live in the Matanuska Valley. I follow the public process. The public process done appropriately. Decision made by the governing body is more like the public interest. Comments in reference to 18-086 as before you right now. Note that you had a public comment at the previous meeting, primary election day, remind you. There were a few other people here. The mayor was not, with respect, but I appreciate that you're having another chance for the public comment. But I am concerned, and I don't know if you, I do notice things, and maybe I'm mistaken. As I stated earlier at a previous meeting, that one of the sizable number of attendance on issues has been on the shooting issue at a borough assembly meetings, gravel pits and so forth, marijuana issues. But I'm concerned that, and this is not your fault through the borough, but normally you would have thought that there would have been some coverage about what happened at that Tuesday night meeting, which this was addressed by several people from the public. And I don't recall any story in the Frontiersman. Maybe there was one. I'm concerned about that because how does the public get to know what's going on? You're trying to do your best, but you got an IT crisis, and that's complicating the situation. And remind you, too, that with that crisis, the packet this time wasn't on until Friday. Sometime Friday for a Tuesday meeting. The last one for this issue that wasn't on until Monday before a Tuesday meeting. So it's not getting any better, maybe by a couple of days, but this is not business as usual. And I would recommend, number one, is that you do some continuation on this item, and also to give more chance and hope maybe the Frontiersman will follow up and report about this thing. You would think there was some news coverage. And what is the rush on this thing, this scenario, and give it more, reflection and hear what the people have to say about this? Because this is a heated issue. I've been in meetings when this type of discussion dealing with shooting ranges, and you have, and you know it is a heated issue, and wouldn't it be best to just have more time? I know you did have a meeting before, and I'm glad of it, but that was primary. The packet wasn't until the day before, and the packet for this one wasn't until Friday before for this meeting on Tuesday. So we're still not connecting with the people, but you are in a situation that's making it more complicated to connect. So I would encourage you not to close public hearing on this, to continue to give another chance, give more reflection on this thing before you go on further with this. And thank you very much. And I think I'll close with that comment with 12 seconds to spare. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So that's all we have on the sign-up list for Ordinance 18086. Anybody in the audience wish to speak on this that's not signed up? Sir, come on forward. Welcome to state your name for the record.
Hi, my name's Norm Stout. I live up off Edgerton Parks Road. I've been up there 30 years. And let me tell you why this establishing this working group is important, and it's important to do it now, is you build your home, you live there 30 years, finish your career, you look forward to retirement, and your kids are out of the house, and then you find out that there is going to be a shooting range moving in next to you during the period where you were going to maybe try to sit outside and drink your coffee in the morning and enjoy yourself after a 30-year commitment to a community. And that is happening now. Now, we all may annoy each other as neighbors on occasion, but we don't generally make a profit from it. In this case, the working group will look at commercial shooting ranges, which are for profit, whereas somebody is going to be creating what amounts to an incredible nuisance noise right next to your house, and they're going to make a profit, bringing people from Anchorage to make that profit, making noise in your backyard. We need to establish this working group, let them look at this, bring that information to you so we can decide, is this what we want as a community? And how can we minimize the effects to the long-term community members and do it fairly for everybody? So the working group is important. It's important with the majority of my neighbors who I've spoken with, and I'm hoping we move forward on it tonight and not put it off. It's only a working group. It's going to bring you information that will help you make good decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to speak on this ordinance forming the working group? Sir, come on forward.
Good evening. My name is Bob Thompson. I've been a resident in this borough for 37 years. I know from watching this group many different times that I never want to be a politician. I thank you for your service, every single one of you, the dedication that it takes. I am speaking in support of this resolution, and I just want to emphasize that what's before you tonight is not an ordinance. It's not a law. This is a process to gather information for you to be able to make a decision. My belief is that as a public official, that it is your job to become informed as best you can and then to address issues that are brought to you by your citizens. We currently have two communities that this is a very pertinent issue. There have been others in the past. And while, yes, it can be very contentious, there's nothing before you right now that is going to change current ordinances or law. What we're asking is that we be able to put a group together at no expense to provide you with the information to make an informed decision. And I really find it hard to believe that anyone would want to vote against getting information about an issue as important as this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on 086 forming the working group? Seeing and no one else, we'll close the public hearing at this time. Madam Clerk, please read the legislation into the record.
Mr. Mayor, I did read the legislation into the record, and the main motion is already on the floor.
Okay, let's go on to discussion. Assembly members, Assemblymember Mayfield. Sorry about that, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to amend Ordinance 18-086 by inserting the words, comma, educational and nonprofit after the word commercial throughout the ordinance. Basically what this does is that presently the ordinance suggests a working group that will study commercial facilities. I want to make sure that we also consider educational and nonprofit facilities. So that's the reason for including that language. It still does not touch on backyard shooting ranges whatsoever, but it does touch on those larger facilities that may be established in the future, and give the group, the working group, the opportunity to weigh in on reasonable expectations for a commercial or commercial, educational, or nonprofit shooting facility.
Okay, Senator Doty on the amendment.
Thank you. I speak in support of the amendment. I think it broadens the scope to what we really were trying to achieve, similar to the racetracks where there are some non-commercial opportunities and we still need to have some guidelines. And I think having the working group deal with both educational, nonprofit, as well as commercial is a broader and better use of the activity.
Senator Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I support the amendment, but my question is, do we need to even have any words before outdoor shooting facility?
Senator Mayfield?
Well, I think that we do, because there are people in this borough, including myself, who have some outdoor backyard facilities that...
Is that your cannon?
Personal use. And for the cannon, that's right. And so we're not, at least at this time, I don't think it was our purpose or our conception to really regulate backyard shooting ranges. I think
the time may come for that at some point in time where we, as we grow at a, as a borough. But for now, I don't see us going down that road.
Anyone else on the amendment? All right, any objections to Senator Mayfield's amendment? Okay, Senator McKee has objected. So go ahead and vote. You're voting on to add the words and educational and nonprofit after the word commercial.
Can we already close the debate? Yes,
we you're voting now, Senator Beck. Yes or no on the amendment?
Assembly Member Kowalki, can I get you to press your button again? Is it? Okay. Oh, you got it. Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assembly Member Leonard and McKee opposed.
Okay, so Senator Mayfield's amendment is passed. This is part of the ordinance 18086. Discussion on the ordinance itself, Senator Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do support the ordinance, but we did have a little bit of discussion at our last meeting when this was brought up about representatives who might be there. And I was, the two ideas occurred to me. I've had something to do with shooting ranges in the past, and certainly the one at Maud Road is something that is in my district and is very popular. But I think that specifying a safety professional, maybe a, you know, somebody who's familiar with ranges is one thing. The other one is sound conflicts. In other words, minimizing sound impacts. And it is similar to the racetrack in the sense that as long as we don't make any more land, but we continue to make more people, the population is going to increase, and whether it's racetracks or whether it's outdoor shooting ranges, sound conflicts are one of the most difficult to deal with. And so whether it's building berms, at Maud Road we were supposed to have a covered range that will cover the end of the of guns, and the original idea was supposed to be that there would be baffles inserted to catch the sound, most of the sound anyway. But the baffles were never installed. It's just plain old plywood. And so the sound continues to echo. And then, of course, the targets are toward the mountain, which echoes all the way back across the valley. And so I would make an amendment to add those two. In other words, we have representatives of commercial outdoor shooting facilities in Mat-Su Borough. Maybe one of them could be the safety officer of one of those types of ranges, so that
Senator Sykes, are you making an amendment?
Yes, Madam, I am.
Go ahead and state the amendment real clearly for the
clerk. So I amend to change two representatives of commercial outdoor shooting facilities in the Mat-Su Borough, one of which is a professional safety officer, range safety officer. And together with that, add another member, which is has expertise in sound conflicts or minimizing sound impacts around outdoor shooting ranges.
Madam Clerk, could you read that amendment to the assembly members?
Let me finish writing it real quick.
Okay, it's to the first group of members for this, two representatives, commercial outdoor shooting facilities in the Matanuska-Sitna Borough, one to be a professional range safety officer, one that has expertise in minimizing sounds of an outdoor shooting range.
Okay.
To clarify, the second one could just be right below the at-large member. I wasn't saying the two representatives of the commercial shooting facilities had to be these two. It, just one of them needs to be a safety officer. And then I would add another bullet point for the sound professional to minimize.
Yeah, let's go into brief recess. Madam Clerk, get with Senator Sykes and we're just at ease. Go ahead. We're at ease. Not a recess. Okay. Go back on record. At ease is over. Madam Clerk.
And just if I could clarify real quick, Mr. Mayor, the amendment was going to give us a even member board, 10-member board, which parliamentarian-wise, you shouldn't be doing that because if you have a 5-5 vote, nothing ever passes. So this is the new amendment, and correct me if I'm wrong, Assemblymember Sykes. On the first bullet point, it would be two representatives of commercial outdoor shooting facilities in the Matanuska-Sitna Borough, one with professional range safety officer. Go down where it says two residents within a half mile, it would change to three residents within a half mile. And then a new member would be a resident with expertise in minimizing sound impact. So then you have an 11 member board.
Everybody have the amendment? So Senator Doty?
Yes, I speak against the amendment as written for two reasons. One is I believe that the definition of professional and range expert is awfully narrow. And you can say someone with experience, but to define a professional might be very difficult. I feel the same thing about the sound issues. If you look at, there's some very good draft regulations that are available with guides with details about how to construct a safe range that are available, and the staff on board here has it at the borough. That's a good place to start, and then the debate could go from there. But I really do not want to dilute down the number of residents and be specific to who they are. You've got one at large, but now you're defining one of the residents who is going to narrow down that eligibility as well. So I speak against the amendment.
Senator McKee?
I agree with Assemblyperson Doty. The idea is we were going to get a group together. They were going to discuss this thing and come back and give it to the borough, and then we could ask them more questions. Right now what we're trying to do is narrow that thing, channel what they're going to discuss and everything else. Who is a professional? Okay, I had a neighbor who killed people at 1,000 yards. Is he a professional in firearms? Damn right he is, okay? Does he want to be on a board like this? No. Okay, so what we should have, and I had suggested to the assistant or to the deputy borough manager that we might have as they might informally ask the Birchwood range person to come in and talk to the group once they get together and give them, and then they could come back to the assembly and we could ask some intelligent questions or semi-intelligent, given the board we have here. Okay?
Okay. Okay, on Assemblymember Sykes' amendment. Go ahead and wrap up Senator Sykes and we'll vote on it.
Okay. Well, I do think that Assemblymember Doty made a good decision. It doesn't have to be a professional, but definitely somebody with experience. The reason I suggested the amendment is that, yeah, we when we looked at shooting ranges, I did a lot of research, and there's all kinds of stuff. The NRA has rules, and various organizations has designs for fitting stuff in small places, but that doesn't necessarily give us any guidelines about what to do in an ordinance if there is going to be a sound conflict. So I feel very strongly that we do need somebody in there with sound experience. And the safety experience, most people with, I would hope, with commercial outdoor shooting ranges already has this experience, but I think it's the opposite. I'm not trying to narrow down who we're choosing here. I just want to make sure the bases are covered, and I think sound is a major base, and safety is the other one that were not specifically mentioned, and that's why I add them. And so I would be willing to entertain a secondary amendment to choose experience rather than professional.
Let's stick with the one we have.
Well, that's not your prerogative, Mr. Mayor. If somebody wants to make an amendment, I'd be willing to entertain it.
I don't see any amendments, so is there any objection to Assemblymember Sykes' amendment? Okay, there's objection. So go ahead and vote on Assemblymember Sykes' amendment. If you want it reread by the clerk, now is the time. Okay, Senator Mayfield wants it reread.
On the first bullet point, it's two representatives of commercial outdoor shooting facilities in the Matanuska Sitna Borough, which one of them is a professional range safety officer. Change two residents within a half mile to three residents and add a new member resident with expertise in minimizing sound impacts.
Okay, go ahead and vote for the record, please.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Sykes and Beck in support.
Okay, so we're back to the ordinance, which was amended earlier. Pardon? Any further discussion on 18086 as amended earlier? Senator Doty?
One way to address Mr. Sykes' concerns is to put a statement at the end of the list is that expertise in sound abatement and range safety would be encouraged or something like that. I don't think you can designate who's gonna have what in this list. We have to have volunteers that actually step up to the plate.
Okay, any objection to passing 18086 as amended earlier? Okay, Senator Leonard objects, so go ahead and vote on the record, please. For or against 18086?
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember McKee, Assemblymember Kowalki, and Assemblymember Leonard opposed.
Okay, so we're moving on. That's our only public hearing tonight, so we're at audience participation. We have reached that period in time. We have a sign-up list, but if there's somebody who wishes to speak after the sign-up list, we certainly will do that. Come to the podium. State your name for the record. I better put my glasses on here. Christopher Grant Fuhrer. Is that? Hope I got that right, sir. Apologize.
Name's Christopher Grant Fowler.
Fowler, excuse me.
Paperwork here for the assembly.
Okay.
I have not spoken to the assembly since you were located on Evergreen Avenue across from the Frontier Restaurant 48 years ago. I am speaking as a veteran. I'm representing no special interest group. But I'm referring to the Wall of Honor, which you so disrespected. I am one of the owners of that Wall of Honor, along with 23 other honored vets. That deed that you sold had a restriction on it, said the relocation restriction set forth shall be a burden on Track B and shall run with the land. In fine print, it said an ordinance could be produced by somebody in this borough and voted on by the assembly members. I have some questions here I'd like to have answered. Who wrote that ordinance to take the Wall of Honor restriction off that track B? Number two, where did the $1,215,000 that went for that 5 acres go? Number three, when was the contract awarded of $312,000 to destroy our Wall of Honor that we built out of our own funds? We paid 2,300 members on that wall. We all paid to have our names put on there. I was raised in a time when God, honor, and country stood for something. Now the political correctness that we have in this country, well, this is equating it to the NFL on their knees for the national anthem. The tearing down the monuments that were put up 100, 150 years ago because they offended somebody. Right now, I'm very offended as a veteran for what has happened to our sacred ground. I am a property owner. I am a businessman in this borough. One of my tenants, I have Fowler Rentals, by the way, is an 80-year-old widow of a World War II vet, Leonard Joslin. His ashes are placed at the bottom of his plaque on that Wall of Honor in 2002. No paperwork was filed, but I was there when that was done. I've known that family for 40 years. He enlisted in the U.S. Navy at 17 years old, December 14, 1941. He was stationed aboard the USS Colorado, a battleship that was not sunk during Pearl Harbor because it was located in Bremerton Shipyard. They took it out of Bremerton and put it down in Hawaii to protect the West Coast. The USS Colorado was a very large ship. You're beeping at me. That means my 3 minutes are up, correct?
Yes, but go ahead.
All right.
We'll give you time to...
What I'm stating is that I'm very ashamed of what transpired here. The disrespect that was put out by whoever wrote this ordinance that eliminated the Wall of Honor on that property. Because that, if you, the paperwork I put up there, if you notice, said a permanent historical site that Leo Kay had put down there in 2000, year 2000. That is a historical site. It's not 32 panels of granite. That was $312,000 was supposed to tear off there. It's a site which is a memorial that we look at the Wall of Honor. We also look at the mountain called POW, MIA, and the Gold Star Mountain from that site. I've been there when the Elmendorf Air Force flew a missing man formation over there during one of our ceremonies. I've been there for many different ceremonies, and I've been there. I was mowing the lawn at the Wall of Honor 1 week before that construction crew started tearing the panels off that wall. I was at the Valley Hospital. I took a friend up there with a stroke. I looked out, and I seen these orange hats working on our Wall of Honor. Two young laborers, they were just doing what they were told, but they were tearing off those names. Everybody said the veterans wanted this Wall of Honor moved. That is wrong. The veterans did not want this Wall of Honor moved because that was a permanent historical site. It's more than just a bunch of names on a wall. It's a memorial. It's been there for 26 years, and how ironic you voted on the 19th of June, 2018 to remove that restriction, and it was 26 years from 2000, correction, 26 years ago, June 19th, 1992, that the members of the Mat-Su Borough allowed us to build that Wall of Honor on the Mat-Su Bicentennial Park, which is where that was located. Before that, it was Best View Trailer Park. Okay, we all know this. However, all of a sudden, now I have a little blurb here, I think on your minutes of June 19th, it says here, an ordinance approving the removal of the deed restriction invoked under ordinance serial number 15-132 in order to allow the Veterans Wall of Honor Memorial to be moved from Track B, best view, and to allow the owners of Track B, Valley Hospital Association, doing business as the Matsu Health Foundation, the ability to determine the highest and best use for Track B. 26 years it was used as an honor to the veterans. It seems very disrespectful that nobody here, I have an assemblyman here I provided material to, and Dr. Dottie, I was told to supply a copy to her, which I did by internet. But none of you ever read that paper. 6 years ago, the Matsu Borough went paperless. You just experienced a little of what's going to happen later. This ransomware you got stuck with, it's cost, what, okay. $1.4 million? I believe you said so far.
Okay.
What happens if we have a solar flare?
I'll ask you to wrap up. I've given you a long time after 3 minutes, so we have others who want to testify too. So.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
I hope you reconsider this. I want to know where that money went. Maybe you can buy that land back and donate it to the veteran. Thank you.
Ellie Claiborne. Welcome.
Ellie Claiborne.
Yes.
Sometimes called Ellie. I'm not a professional orator, and usually I'm an inadequate person to express my own opinions and views. So I'd like to pass my time back to Mr. Fowler to let him finish, if you don't mind.
Why don't you take the time to tell us what you feel about the situation?
I think it's a crying shame, sir.
Go ahead.
Based on what I know,
yeah.
I don't think there was any public input regarding this matter. I've talked to a lot of veterans that never heard about the wall being torn down and the property being sold. I just think there was no public information, no invitation for comments. And I just think the whole thing was based on money, profit, and it was underhanded the way it was dealt with. That's just my general opinion. I have no facts, no figures. I don't have the expertise with all the paperwork to back up everything I'm saying. It's just what I've heard, and what I've heard has been very consistent. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir, for taking the time to come here. And let's see. Melanie Layden, Red Cross. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. Good evening, Borough Mayor, Borough Manager, Assembly members, staff, and also our current active military members and veterans. Thank you all for your service. My name is Melanie Layden. I'm representing the Red Cross of Alaska. And today in particular, I would like to talk about Resolution 18060, the resolution allocating human services community matching grant funds. That's a mouthful. Today I am talking to you because the Red Cross of Alaska has been receiving this grant. Currently, we are not on that resolution to continue being funded. I would like to make the case today why I would like to change your minds to continue to support the Red Cross of Alaska and all that we do in the Matsu Borough. The Red Cross of Alaska mission, obviously, is to alleviate human suffering in the events of disasters. In fiscal year 18, the Red Cross of Alaska responded to over 120 home fires in the Matsu Borough, where we provided financial assistance, mental health services, as well as basic necessities. We also helped these individuals to maneuver services to make sure that they are getting long-term assistance if necessary. In addition to that, the Red Cross of Alaska, with the funding from you, thank you so much, was able to help educate over 1,000 Matsu students through our pillowcase project, where we go to classrooms in all over the region. In particular, in the Matsu area, we were able to educate over 1,000 students to help them develop coping skills in the event of disaster. We also help encourage them to speak to their families and loved ones to ensure that they have a plan in the event of a disaster, because preparedness is super important. And As well as with our continued Sound the Alarm campaign in fiscal year 18, we were able to help install over 1,250 smoke alarms in the Mat-Su region. We were able to help make 275 homes safer. Not only do we install these for free through the generosity of the grant that you were able to give us, but we also help prepare these families by walking through emergency management preparedness plans with them. So we're helping them make sure that they know where to leave their homes, how quickly to do it, where to go to. In addition to that, we also provided over 750 military members emergency services. Through these emergency services, we provide, of course, emergency communication when a loved one is in dire need. We provide financial assistance to these family or military members, as well as mental health services and other services as needed. I would like to thank you so much for your generosity that you've given us to in the past, and if you could, we would love to continue our financial support from the Mat-Su Borough. We do understand that funding is tight, but obviously I'm here trying to make my case for the Red Cross of Alaska. So thank you so much for your service.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. We'll discuss things later. That's going to be an IM. Okay, a short question, please.
I'm sorry. So thank you for your testimony. How much had you requested?
We typically have received previously $20,000 per year, but at this point we do understand funding is tight, so honestly any generosity is appreciated. Everything that is raised in the borough goes to the borough. Everything is cycled back.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Keith Lips, welcome back.
My name is Keith Lips. I'm up here again. And I just got finished asking you, gentlemen, a question about 18-086, about amending this. And you, Mr. Vernhalter, just told me no, this isn't the time or place to do it. I just heard four amendments voted on that could have put my suggestion into this. So therefore, it tells me that you guys are going to do what you want to do anyway. It doesn't make a difference what the people want. I am a landowner on that. My name was on that wall. My father's name was on that wall. I put my father's ashes below his name. That's hollow ground. You know, like, how can you guys do that? Is there a way we can save that dirt and transfer it over? Have you guys even thought about that? How many ashes were laid at the feet? Or at the base of those wall plaques? You know, how many millions do you guys, how much did you sell the land for? Where did the money go? Come on, you know, it's like you guys need to start answering to us veterans. And thank you all for all you veterans that served in this country. And all I got to say is the remainder is I vote, and I will be really vocal come this election for all you people that voted to have those plaques removed and that wall and that ground shit upon, basically. Thank you.
Eugene Haverman.
My name is Eugene Carl Haverman. I live in Mat-Su Valley. I follow the public process. The public process done appropriately. Decision made by the governing body is more like the public interest. If there's anyone in this room, it's been me, most likely the one person who's attended the meetings concerning the Veterans Wall. Whether it's before the Veteran City Council in Wasilla, I was there. Whether it was at the Borough Assembly, it happened a few meetings on that issue. But one thing came out toward the last chapter concerning the wall. And I'd like to remind Assembly members that chapter. I do credit Barbara Doty at one moment in that discussion. The hearing was closed, dealing with the wall, Veterans Wall, and he says, who are the veterans? Who are the veterans? What happened after that question was the hearing was closed. Mayor Cottle came up and assured that the veterans had approved this. But who were the veterans that were supporting this scenario? And then I went before the city council, went over before the city council in Wasilla, and they had a public hearing there, because now you ended your participation in the chapter dealing with the Veterans Wall, and was moving over there. And then the City Council Wasilla. I had two items on the agenda. One was dealing with the bid, and one was dealing with the land and approval to allow that wall to be where it was at. But I raised concern is who was the veterans, too, because where the principal parties was who owned the land and who are the veterans that were supporting this thing. When I raised that issue at the City Council with Scylla, what happened? The hearing was closed. They heard enough. But the mayor made a statement. I remember that chapter. He assured the council that he would provide that information the next meeting. But they approved it. What happened at the next meeting before, about 5 or 6 minutes before the meeting start, he passed out some information about some of the information about the veterans and the participation in the discussion. Is this the way it should have gone? No. But I told the City Council, and I kept on bringing it up to them over the course of meetings, even after that situation, is this issue would not go away. It will come back, and it has come back, and it will continue coming back, and more people are going to ask questions, and we'll continue asking questions, and what has happened? This is not what we do in respect to the veterans, America. You beautiful sight up there, why move it? It didn't have to be moved. It was agreed it didn't have to be moved in the early chapters of this story. Money was set aside when the original developer bought the land, and part of the purchase price, part of that money was set aside to deal with the wall, but it didn't have to be moved. But it got moved, and look how it happened. And now you're hearing from some people here. But they're coming out right now and closing, just closing this chapter. Is there coming out responsibly? Finally, Frontiersman is reporting about it, but after a fact. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Barbara Andrist? Barbara Andrist? Apparently she's not here. Anybody else? That's all the list we have in audience participation. Anybody else wish to speak? Ma'am?
Hello, my name is Linda Lips, and I have many friends and family that are on that wall, or were on the wall, and I'm wanting to know for this Veterans Day, is there going to be a celebration? Is it going to be set up somewhere? Where is this new wall going to be?
I'll have Cottle come up and answer those questions.
Okay, because I remember back when they first built that wall, and right. It's sacred ground.
Well,
I'm very against it.
Thank you. We'll try to answer those questions. Mayor Cottle, would you like to? Thank you for being here, by the way.
Thank you. Mayor Cottle, City of Wasilla. So Veterans Day 2018 will be at the new location on Wasilla Fishhook on the 1 acre of land that's been turned over to the veterans. So that will be Veterans Day 2018. Phase one will be completed, and we will be doing a celebration there in Wasilla on Wasilla Fishhook. And that's the old Iditarod school site that's in between the two driveways. I know Mr. Beck was there for the groundbreaking, as well as all the other military groups were there. So we will be open this year.
Could you clarify that the wall will be constructed by then?
The wall will be up, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
My question is, the City of Wasilla was working with, my understanding, 5 different veterans groups.
That's correct.
On this move.
That's correct.
And
2 American Legion groups, 2 MFETS groups, and the VFW group.
And this was the information that was presented to the Assembly before any decisions were made.
Yes, sir.
And all 5 of those groups understood that there was going to be a move.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And approved it.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, there's a copy I provided the Assembly Member Sykes today. There's a copy of the resolution they all signed.
So.
Yes. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else in audience participation want to speak? Sir, come on forward.
My name's Jerry Hoskins, and I am on the board of directors, and we were told that we could not stay on that property. So we had to move along. We couldn't afford to sue the borough to stop it. All of us are upset that it's being moved, but we have to move on. You guys failed.
Okay, anyone else on audience participation? Seeing none, we'll close audience participation at this time.
Where did money go?
Madam Clerk, we're not going to address that at this time.
I would say that the budget is public information and posted online.
Right, so. Madam Clerk, let's do the consent agenda, please. Please read it in the record.
Resolution 1860, a resolution allocating Human Services Community matching grant funds to nonprofit human services agencies within the community and authorizing the manager to enter into grant agreements with the subgrantee agencies. AM 1881, awarded bid number 1921B to Granite Construction Company in the contract amount of $506,623 for the purchase of winter sand and chips. AM 1882, authorization to purchase from Alaska Safety Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $2,468,710 self-contained breathing apparatus upgrades and related equipment. AM 1883, award of proposal number 195P to Electric Power Systems Incorporated in the contract amount of $656,100 for management of the mitigation acquisition program. AM 1884, awarded bid number 1917B to Alaska Construction and Paving Incorporated in the contract amount of $1,475,263 for the annual maintenance and operation of Central Landfill. AM 1885, approval of contract amendment to contract number 1885PA with Boutte Company to add 51,000, add up to 5% in additional change order authority, and extend the time to complete the project to October 1st, 2018 for construction management of the Redane Road Extension Project, project number 75001, Fund 490. AM 1886, approval of contract amendment to contract number 1786P with Clark Engineering Incorporation to add $675,414 and up to $25,000 in additional change order authority to complete the engineering services for the septic and leachate treatment and disposal facility project, project number 25054, Fund 420. AM 1887, authorization to purchase from CXT precast concrete products in the amount of $147,211.68 for precast concrete restrooms for Jim Creek Campground, Pioneer Ridge Trailhead, Government Peak Recreation Area, and the West Butte Trailhead. AM 1888, approval of a contract amendment to contract number 1899P with Moffitt and Nicole in the amount of $39,936 for construction management of the Port McKenzie Cell Dock Repairs Phase 2 project, project number 7512, Fund 450.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Senator Beck, would you please move the consent agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Any discussion? Any objection to the consent agenda passing? Seeing and hearing none, the consent agenda is approved. We have no unfinished business, no vetoes. Madam Clerk, please read the introductions into the record.
Introduction for public hearing on September 18th, Ordinance 1890 with accompanying Resolution 1863, Ordinance 1891, Ordinance 1892 with accompanying Resolution 1864.
Senator Member Beck.
Pardon? Senator Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for September 18th, 2018.
Any objection? And hearing no objection, legislation has been introduced. There's no vacancy report. There's no other new business or no referrals, no reconsiderations. Let's go to comments. So start with staff. Mr. Spropolis. Nothing further in the legal world. Mr. Moosey.
Yes. I'm this morning on the way to work, about 5:30 a.m. Our building maintenance manager, Pete Rooney, was in a fatal accident on his way to work. And so Pete was a fabulous guy that we had. He's the type of guy that fixed stuff before he knew it needed fixed. And we're really going to miss him. So it's it was a hard day for us today.
Very sad news. Madam Clerk? Senator McKee, comments? Senator Sykes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really do appreciate all the veterans coming out and addressing the wall issue. I met with Mr. Fowler for the first time this morning, and I appreciate his time. I think there's still some unanswered questions. We all have different pieces of information. As one of my native friends who had some trouble being sworn in court to tell only the truth and nothing but the truth, said, well, I can only tell you my truth. And so I'm going to tell you what I have done. Because the wall of honor was talked about being moved. It was talked about it quite extensively when we put the amendment in to, I believe it was a unanimous vote, keep the wall where it is on the property unless the owners of the wall, which was an organization, nonprofit organization run then by the Schultz, very nice people. And so that's I kind of one of the missing pieces I didn't hear in the testimony is that even though the wall was on Matsu Burl property, we didn't own the wall, the wall of honor. And so it was the intent of the assembly at the time that it stayed there unless the people who did own the wall wanted to move it. And so I believe it was December. I don't know exactly the... I've only seen the resolution. I didn't get the email that Mayor Cottle sent. I tried to print it out, but, you know, if we attach ourselves to a printer here right now, we have to basically give up our computer. So I didn't get that printed out. But my understanding was that it was approved, and I don't think the assembly would have acted to allow it to be moved unless we understood that that was happening. Now, it was not our understanding that the wall had to move. That was, we heard testimony that veterans were told that the wall had to move. That is not what I understood here at the assembly. We understood that it was the option of the veterans groups. And so there are some unanswered questions, and I think that we can do some more research to find all of this out. But I don't think anybody here acted dishonorably at all. I think that we acted with a unanimous voice in support of the veterans in 2015 and only acted to let it go with the understanding that that is what the veterans groups wanted. And so I do want to put that on the record. I think that, I talked over with Mr. Fowler this morning. I wanted my dad's name on that wall at that location as well. And so I just think that before we lay out any accusations, I just have the perception that everybody here told their truth tonight, but we didn't all understand that previously. And so I just wanted to put it on the record. I was asked at one point by the mayor to summarize all of the actions, and I don't have it in front of me. I've got it in my office, but I sent out about a half a page sheet that outlined the actions that the assembly took and when we took them, and that it was indeed the wall stays where it is unless the people who are in charge of the wall want to move it. And so I think I was accurate in that portrayal based on the situation at the time, and I don't know where the information came from that said the veterans had to leave. That is not anything I ever heard here at the assembly, so I do want you all to know that. And so I just wanted to put that on the record because I do think that everybody here respects your service, and I thought as far as anybody knew, the borough did. I know they contacted at least one family of ashes they knew about. Apparently there were others that may not have been known about. But I really do think that people have tried to deal with this issue as respectfully as possible. In terms of finding out where the money went, we can find that out. I don't know. But it was I believe the original sale where we put the restriction on not moving the wall was for something like $1.25 million to Spring Creek LLC. They sold it to Maple Springs, and Maple Springs sold it to Matsu Health Foundation. So we got pretty distant from that, other than the fact that the option was exercised to move the wall. And like I said, there's still some questions that need to be answered, but I don't have it all here, but I think it's all findable, and I'll help work to do that. So I do want to thank my fellow assembly members. I thank Assemblymember Doty for bringing the shooting range forward. I know that my amendment was voted down, but it's okay. The whole point of the thing is to try and get some discussion. And, you know, I should win about 99% of my votes, but we don't live in the Soviet Union here. So, I mean, I'm good with that. And I thank you all, and I wish you all a good evening. And to all of you in the audience, thank you all for coming out.
Senator Kwalke, comments? None. Senator Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do agree with Assemblymember Sykes' comments in regards to the wall. I do believe that every assembly member here honors and respects our veterans, and we tried exceedingly hard to make sure that that was evident. Mayor Cottle did work with at least five veterans organizations that were recognized as leading in that area. And you know, as it is in our society, the word doesn't get out to everybody. We, for some reason, our society fails in informing everybody. And even if we were able to, we would not get 100% agreement with every single thing that's before us. And obviously the wall, we recognize as being very sensitive and something that we wanted to make sure that we handled with great care and great respect. We initially made a provision in the land sale that the wall was to be preserved and that it was to stay there. But after working with the various veteran groups and getting their involvement, there was a decision that was made to go ahead and move the wall. And so it is going to a very beautiful place. I attended the groundbreaking ceremony along with Deputy Mayor Beck. And the piece of land that's dedicated to that, to honoring our vets, and is gorgeous. It's in a good place. The phased planned build on that piece of property is excellent. I think it's going to be something that every citizen of the Mat-Su Valley and every citizen of our nation would be proud of to go to and honor veterans. If you don't have a copy of that plan, please get it. Or if you want to see me, I can pull it up for you. But I do think that it's something that is going to be respectful. It's going to honor our vets to a maximum extent. So, and I am appreciative of the fact that you gentlemen have come here tonight to speak to this issue. I think, unfortunately, your input was a little late. I would have preferred to have it a little earlier. So, Mr. Lisp, asked the question as to why his suggestion for an amendment on the shooting range ordinance could not be made, and I want to just take a quick second to help him to understand that ordinance was simply to set up a committee that would make recommendations to the assembly on what are good practices in setting up a shooting facility. And so we don't want to lay down rules for a citizen group and tell them what their restrictions are, tell them what they need to do. We want them to come forward to us with good public input that develops responsible shooting range practices and methods in which we can accommodate our gun users in the valley. So I just wanted to try to explain that a little bit and Mr. Lisp, if you have any further questions on that, I'd be more than glad to spend some time with you to discuss it and make it clear for you. I do appreciate all the testimony this evening, so thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Senator Doty.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate the discussion about the working group on shooting ranges, and yes, it is a working group. The idea is to have interested and competent community members submit their applications so that they can get further input. And I encourage anyone who has passion for the concept of having some guidelines for commercial or educational nonprofit shooting ranges, which are important in our community, that they submit their application to the mayor via the clerk. I too understand the confusion and am, you know, feel a little badly about the fact that the discussion is so confusing related to the Veterans Wall. We had a very thorough and I think very respectful discussion with Spring Creek, which was the initial purchaser, I believe, of that land. Subsequently, that land was sold to Maple Springs, I believe, and then from there went to the Matsu Health Foundation. So there was a more than one transfer of title, and our involvement was the first effort with that, and really clearly said it's up to the veterans whether that is moved or not, and tried to have as much representation as we could. So, you know, I echo with my colleagues on the assembly that the intent was not to force a movement; it was to offer an opportunity. And the discussion was really about a critically needed skilled nursing facility and how could we build that. Turns out that's not going to go up there now at all. And so it was, I think, a surprise to us that the information we received was the veterans wanted to move it. There obviously was some miscommunication, and I think Mr. Sykes described that quite well. And, no effort was made, I don't believe, by any assembly members to be disrespectful of the wish and intentions of our veterans, which are very important to us. I want to make a call out just to the Red Cross. I appreciated the feedback and the information. I'm unclear as to why, whether there wasn't an application submitted or why Red Cross was not considered in the distribution of funds. And I'll leave that to the manager's discretion to look at that in the future if there's a way to find some funds that we could use to support them. And thank you all for your testimony.
Senator Leonard.
Yes, Mayor. Again, I'd like to thank everyone for their testimony and would like some more of the history that Assemblymember Sykes
and Barbara.
Yes, anyway, I'd like to thank everyone for their testimony, and I too would like to see more of the history on this and get more information overall. And that's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, we were really excited when Sprig Creek came and identified a need in the community for a skilled nursing facility. And when they looked at this piece of property and worked with community groups, worked with veterans groups, we didn't sell this because they came forth and offered us a huge amount of money. I think you're going to hear testimony in a few moments from the mayor and manager how much money we received for that piece of property and what we spent that money on, per se. We didn't make a killing on it. We thought we were participating in a really good community activity. And as Assemblymember Doty explained, it just came out differently. The state didn't allot the bed space that Spring Creek needed to build the proposed facility. And so now we have whatever the other competing organization was, Maple Springs, they're building in a couple different locations because they were allotted the beds instead of Spring Creek. So the project there just did not go in the direction that we had hoped that it was going to go. I am looking forward to, and we've been assured that the Wall of Honor will be phase one complete for Veterans Day. So I think that's a good thing. I'm looking forward to that celebration in November. I did grow up in Billings, Montana, and there's a Billings Trap Club, and it's less than 150 feet from a state recreation area where kids swim. And I was just there a few weeks ago with, several hundred kids swimming at Lake Elmo. And there's new neighborhoods that sprouted up right around the Trap Club after it was built. So clearly it's something that can be established, and I'm looking forward to, you know, discovering what some of the rules were in that community that helped that develop it. And I think a similar thing can occur here with really good planning. I would like to have an update from the project manager of the Wasilla Pool project, how that's going, if that's possible at a future meeting, just to see where we're at financially, but also progress, how we're progressing with that. And on a final and a rather somber note, I'd just like to extend heartfelt condolences to Jeffrey and Charlene Esley, and in particular, I'd like to name Carrie Taylor Bloomquist and her five-year-old daughter, Addie. Addie attended Finger Lake Elementary School, and Carrie was the soccer coach at Palmer High School, or one of the soccer coaches, of which my daughter was a member, a player for this past summer, and those four individuals died on the Parks Highway yesterday in the automobile crash. And I'm thinking of Palmer High School. I got a call from the counselor today. My daughter and several of the students and players were in the office and are grieving significantly, and my condolences goes out to the Bloomquist family and our entire community on that.
Thank you, and thank you to everybody for your comments. You know, I guess on the Veterans Wall, if there's one thing that's been one of the most difficult things for me personally on two terms as Assembly Member and one term as Mayor, has been listening to the issue of the Veterans Wall. First of all, when the land was sold, that was Matt Sioux Convention Visitor Bureau. We were holding that property for them. The money that was sold is in trust for the Matt Sioux Convention Visitors Bureau because they're trying to have a new location because they're the ones that are moved off the property on the original sale. But as far as the wall goes, my original intent was it should never be moved. That was how I felt about it from the very get-go. Because when the first property we had it in the deed restriction, I felt very comfortable with that. And then it sold again, and then it sold again. And that's where the problems came in. But the city of Wasilla was taking the lead. They had five veterans groups that were in this room several different times giving their assent to it. And I understand some of you are saying not, your own personal feelings, but that's how that was presented to the borough. And I just hope the project, when it's in its final stages, and I do really hope it's ready for Veterans Day this fall, and I think they'll have further work they're going to do on it even after Veterans Day. But I do hope that it meets the standards that we've been told about. It'll be a better wall, it'll be a better memorial, and it'll be something that the veterans groups and the Matsu Borough, the City of Wasilla, City of Palmer, and the whole community can be proud of. But it has been an emotional, tough one for me, and I could tell all the veterans here, and I respect every one of you. And sometimes change is really tough, and this is a tough one. I will say that. This is a tough one. And now we're not going to take any more comments. It's over now for you folks. I'm just having my final comments, and I appreciate some of the things that some members said tonight. Mr. Moosey, I don't know if you have anything to add as far as the Veterans Wall, but it's been a tough one. I will admit that. I just hope the new memorial is what we expect, and so.
Sir, you might want to notify the state of Alaska because if you drive up the Parks Highway, Veterans Wall signs are posted on the highway.
Well,
they go to a war zone now.
I'm sure we could do that.
Also, the contract to destroy that was left way before you left February. The voters do kind of put the cart before the horse.
Well, we didn't let those contracts. I hope everybody understands that. That is not the Matt Sioux Borough. Okay? So, with that, if there's nothing further, we're going to adjourn. Madam Clerk, what do we have for time? 7:33. 7:33, we're at adjournment.